Well, thank the Lord tonight for His faithfulness, and thank God He works with our unfaithfulness to make us better, but He's always, always found to be faithful to His children and to His cause, and we are certainly seeing the struggles between good and evil, and it's always been there. I think the struggle was there even in the Garden of Eden, and it's just continually progressed and gone on. We see full war now taking place against the righteousness of God. If you stand for this book, you're the one that is the problem. You're the troublemaker. You're the one that don't understand. You're not making progress, and you're not progressive enough. Your thinking is shadowed and clouded by old-fashioned ideas. Well, I hope mine stays clouded by old-fashioned book, the Word of God, and it does not change. Society may change and societies may crumble, but the Word of God standeth sure. And we as a believer, as a Christian, we are to serve and to live for Him. And I think work for righteousness and work for that which is in connection with the will of God. Tonight I want to use two passages. They really, other than the content or the message or maybe the subject matter, one's in the Old Testament, one's in the New Testament. And I'm going to read New Testament verse first, and then we'll go back to the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19 and 20, we read the verses concerning how we are to praise the Lord or honor the Lord, how we are to speak to ourselves, how we are to make those things in our heart. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. And the key to it there is those last three words, to the Lord. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then verse number 20 says, giving thanks. That's while we're singing, while we're making melody in our heart and praising the Lord, we're to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could spend the whole time tonight just on those two verses and could talk about those implications there, that we are to have certain kind of singing, certain kind of things that are honoring and pleasing to God. I've read these verses, I've used these verses, and I've heard others take those and use them to combat what's taking place in the music industry, and certainly we need to combat that. And what's taking place in some of the Christian circles, so-called, and certainly we need to stand upon the principles of God's Word. But I believe the key there is that we are making melody in our heart to the Lord. The singing of songs and hymns and the psalms and the spiritual songs that are mentioned there is not a combat message. It's not a combat song that we have. But we have it that we make melody, have joy in our heart because what the Lord has done for us. And not necessarily fighting against anything, but just thanking God for the melody that we have. We have a joy in our soul and in our heart that the world knows nothing about. But we can sing those songs to the Lord, and we may not can articulate the words well, and may not be able to carry the tune well, may not be able to sing like we would want to. But we can make melody in our heart, and that connection is from our soul to our Savior, from the Lord to us. And so I want us to go back to the book of Exodus, chapter number 15. This is the first song that is mentioned in the Word of God. First time you'll find the word song is found here in chapter 15. In the book of Exodus, and I don't know how far we'll get tonight in this, but just want to look at the song of Moses, and how that is a personal praise that he had to God and the people of Israel had to the Lord for what God had done for them. And I believe that's what ought to make melody in our heart, is what God does for us and the blessings. Before we read verse number 1, let's look at verse 29 in chapter 14 and 30 and 31. Then we'll just go on into chapter 15. It says in verse 29 of Exodus 14, "But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses unto the children of Israel this song." And notice here it says it's a song, same as the New Testament, unto the Lord. "And he spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea, and hath his chosen captain also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And the greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them, and rose up against thee, thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And when the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, and the flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them." Notice verse 10. "Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead, as in the mighty water. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed, and thou hast girded them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. And the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. And the mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thy arm. And they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over. O Lord, till thy people pass over, which thou hast purchased." And we'll leave off reading there. This song continues on. But I think we get the gist of Moses' song here as they are experiencing an overwhelming victory that they had nothing to do with. Israel was faced with the Red Sea in front of them, and they were looking behind them, and I'm sure they could see the armies and the host of Egypt coming after them. And the Egyptians said, "We'll run them into the sea." will destroy them, and they had their arms out against them. But the Lord delivered them. And as we read in chapter 14, the Lord opened the waters, and he stood upon heap right hand and left hand. They walked through. And I thought it was very interesting here that Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. They went in just like Israel did, but there's two different results there. One is delivered and one is destroyed. And so as they're experiencing that, as they're looking at that, Moses breaks out into a song that all of Israel could hear. He breaks out in this message that is given to us, which is called the Song of Moses. It's mentioned other places of the Scripture, so it became very important. Because Moses is looking back and seeing what great things God has done. He had heard the threats. He had talked with Pharaoh. He had had his day in court with Pharaoh, and he had gone through all the different plagues and how God delivered them, but there was no deliverance like this deliverance was there. God delivered Israel out of all the plagues because they were his people. And of course, that last and telling plague was the death of the firstborn. And the people of Israel, in the land of Goshen, they were protected because of the blood that was applied to the doorpost. Because of that shed blood of that lamb that was put on the top and on the sides of the doorpost, the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And God did pass over them, and there was not one of them that died that had the blood. Thank God for that. And you and I tonight, we have the same promise that when God sees the blood of Christ applied to our heart, we're on the winning side. We're already having the victory. We're already on the side of the winners. And so we find that this song that was led by Moses and really was authored by him through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it was not just a piece of poetry, but it's the Word of God. The articulation and the wording of it is marvelous when you think about what they must have felt in their heart when they felt like they could go no farther. They felt like the wall was before them of a water, and they couldn't go to the right or to the left. They certainly couldn't turn back, because they would have met the Egyptians, and if they had turned back, the Egyptians would have killed them. And you and I tonight, if we turn back, we're in trouble. And the world will kill us, and the world will take hold of us. But I'm glad when we come up to an insurmountable task that God can deliver, that God can do those things for us. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, some things about Moses. Of course, we know he's raised in Pharaoh's household, raised by Pharaoh's daughter, and really raised by his own mother. But he's in the household of Pharaoh, and Moses knew how to deal with both sides of the coin of the people. Acts chapter 7, verse 22 says, And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptian and was mighty in words and in deeds. And so Moses there in Egypt, he wasn't some frail individual. He was a mighty man. He was a man that they looked to. He was a man that had great deeds or actions that he had performed. And so this is a man that everybody knew. There wasn't any problem knowing who Moses was, because he, in the minds of the Egyptians, he was the grandson of Pharaoh. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter under the care of his own mother. And now God has chosen him, and he leads them out. And he's great in words and deeds because he had the wisdom of the Egyptians. Sometimes the wisdom of the world is good for us. We may not have all the wisdom that the world has, but to know how they're thinking and how they're acting and why they're doing that. I think it's very obvious to us tonight that the things that's going on in our country, it is a well-orchestrated plan. There's many forces of evil against this country, many forces of wickedness that's against the way of life that we have. And I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know where God's going to permit it to go. But We see the battle that rages every day. Sometimes I get tired of listening to it. One day I didn't even turn on the news because I knew it'd just be a recap of what I'd heard yesterday and the day before and the day before. And sometimes my phone will go off and it has a certain tone when it's a news thing. And I think to myself, I wonder what Trump stirred up now. I wonder who he's made mad now. And he certainly can do that. And I'm not sure he ought not to do that. They need to be rattled in their thinking. And I was listening to him just a few minutes ago in the press conference. And I'll tell you one thing, he's bold. He doesn't mince words. And he talked about a particular lawyer. And he said, I don't know his client, but I know him, and he's a lowlife. I said, well, that takes a pretty strong individual to say that. And so the battle rages, and it's not just right and wrong. It's good and evil. It's righteousness and unrighteousness. And so Moses had been trained in the unrighteousness. Moses had been around all the things of Egypt, but Moses was also trained in the righteous things of the people of God. We know the story that when Pharaoh's daughter found Moses there in the river, hid away in the flags, the bulrushes of the river, she needed someone to help take care of that little baby. And of course, Moses' sister run and got his mother, and she put the influence of righteousness and good things in the life of Moses. And so he was a pretty well-rounded character. Now he comes to this scene that we read about tonight, and we're not going to get very far in that, I'm sure. But when he comes to this scene, there's nowhere to go except to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him, and of course the Lord parted the water, and they walked across, not in the mud. The Bible says they walked across on dry ground. And somebody said, well, the Bible has a mistake here. It was the Reed Sea and not the Red Sea. And the Reed Sea is just very shallow. So what? It wasn't the Reed Sea. It was the Red Sea, just like the Scripture says. And I heard somebody say in a message one time, if it was the Reed Sea, God still performed a miracle and drowned all those Egyptians in two foot of water. And so whatever it is, God's going to have his way. But it was the Red Sea, and God parted it. They walked across on dry ground, and they were thinking, we're at the end of the rope. And when they get across, Moses breaks out in this song, not to the people, but the song to the Lord, making melody in our heart to the Lord, the New Testament says. And so this song that was inspired and given to Moses, it's a very important part of the Scripture. It's a very important part of the Word of God. This is, as I said a moment ago, this is the first song or poem or saying that's called a song recorded in the Bibles, and many scholars believe it's probably the oldest song that's ever been, and that may be true. But Moses was rejoicing in his heart because of what he saw. You and I tonight, we face a lot of struggles. We face a lot of problems. Our country's facing multiple difficulties. But you and I can rejoice tonight because we can see what God has done for us. We can see what the Lord has blessed us with and how he's blessed us. And today's music, no comparison at all to the song that Moses sang. Whether it be in church or out of church, just no comparison. And Moses' song was not a worldly song. It was a righteous song that he sang to God out of a thankful heart. And I believe if we'd have been there in that multitude of ever how many hundreds of thousands, or maybe some estimated over 1 million people. Some have estimated up to as many as 9 million. I don't know how many people, but God opened up the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground, and the Egyptians followed them in, and they didn't make it. And all of a sudden the scripture says Israel saw the Egyptians on the seashore. Now I'll tell you what, that would be a place to shout. Your enemy has been defeated and you didn't raise an arm. Your enemy has been destroyed and you had nothing to do with it. Your enemy is no longer a threat to you because they're floating on this, coming ashore, and they're dead. And the scripture says here that Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea, his chosen captains. What Pharaoh had were his best people. His best captains also were drowned in the Red Sea. I believe I'd shout too. I believe I'd rejoice too in what the Lord has done. And so the principal theme of this, these words that we've read part of them tonight is just praise unto Jehovah God. We read, I don't know for sure if I can find the verse real quick, but he said, God, the Lord is greater than all other gods, little G-O-D-S. And so he is exalting the Lord as Jehovah. L-O-R-D, capital letters, that's Jehovah. That was his God. And he said, I'm going to exalt him. I'm going to thank him. And his theme was praise unto the Lord. And that should be our theme in life. If nothing else that we have the understanding that the Lord has saved us. The Lord has given us hope. The Lord's given us a home. And so therefore our lives, our theme should be praise unto God. He is a glorious Lord, and we should exalt and glorify him as Moses did in his song here. In the verses of this song, the word Lord is used 13 times. He uses the word Lord, and those are terms. That is a term that recognizes not just any God. He's Jehovah. He's God. There are approximately 30 pronouns in this passage, and we didn't read it all, but there's 30 pronouns that are referring to Jehovah. And we have 40 or 45 references throughout the scripture about this Lord and what he did. And our praise should be not centered around us, but centered around the Lord. Centered around what he's done for you and I. They sang praises to God. And I'm not going to get through these things. We maybe do a little more next Wednesday. But he sang praises to the Lord for specific things. In verse number 2, he says, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Look at verse number 4. We'll read it again. Pharaoh's chariots and his host is cast into the sea, even the choicest ones. Verse 6 says, the right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. The enemy is totally destroyed. There's not going to be any more battle with Egypt. There's not going to be a struggle anymore with the Egyptians. There's not going to be more chariots after them. God has dashed them into the sea. And we see here this success that the Lord had. Pharaoh and Egypt lost everything. And God was the victor. Pharaoh lost his army. Pharaoh lost his host of captains. Pharaoh lost his chariots. Pharaoh lost everything that was important to him to have a strong nation. And our God was victorious over that. Just, and the scripture says here, just out of the air of his nostrils. He didn't have to do anything. He can just think it happened. He just commands it to happen, just like Jesus did. Peace be still. And all of a sudden the waves of the sea were calm as a mirrored glass. So our God is not confined to what we think of as warfare. And we see the warfare going on around us. But God can take care of things a whole lot easier than we can. God can take care of the problems a whole lot better than you and I. And so God was victorious, and it rings true today. God is successful in what he does. Whatever he attempts to do, he's going to be successful. Whatever God has his heart to do, whatever God's plan for the ages is, it will come out just exactly according to plan. Now, we have plans. I've just about quit making plans for the day because they don't work. Somebody said the other day, if I make a plan and say it out loud, it's over. I said, well, I don't even have to say it out loud. It's usually over. But God's plan, his plan for human race, his plan for his people, his plan for his church, his plan for all of mankind, it's going to work just exactly the way he said it would. And it hadn't been a work in progress. He knows how it's going to take place before it ever starts. And so our God is successful. Whatever comes out of the Lord's mouth will not return to him void. Those things will be as they should be. Isaiah says that in Isaiah 55:11. Says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Not what I please, but what he pleases. And God says, whatever I speak, according to my pleasure, my good pleasure, it will be accomplished. We can sing like Moses and say, we're on the winning side. We have victory ahead. And so he's going to prosper his people. So we see his success. God's always successful. In the Song of Moses, we see his strength. Verse number one, Moses talks about how the Lord triumphed gloriously, how that he's thrown into the sea, the rider of the horse and the chariot of Egypt. His strength is put on display here. You know, God's strength is always on display. You go out tonight, and if it's a clear sky, you can see the strength of God and the beauty of the Lord. You can see the goodness that God's given to us. We get up in the morning, and we're refreshed, and our body has rest, and we are able to perform and able to do another day, and realizing and knowing that when the day comes to an end, we'll be tired, but God will refresh us again. And so he is very, very strong. He says here, thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty water. The army of Egypt, the soldiers of Egypt, the chariots and the horsemen, they did not have one chance. God just, and they sunk. Now that's a powerful God. That's a God of not only success, that's a God of strength. He is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's our omnipotent God. He has not partial power. He has all power. And his power has been proven time and time again. But he proved it to Moses. He proved it to Israel. And Moses just couldn't stand it anymore. He just began to sing unto the Lord. He'd seen the victory. He'd seen the wonderful blessings of the Lord. His power is unsurpassed. You can't outdo. America thinks she's a strong nation. Nothing in comparison to the strength of our God. Israel is a strong nation. They think they're a strong nation. Nothing in comparison to God. Iran, Iraq, Soviet Union, all of those, Russia, they flaunt their power. What is it? North Korea, I think, brags about a 1,000,000-man army. Well, God didn't take care of 1,000,000 men as much as he could the soldiers of Egypt. And so our God is a God of strength. He's a God that has power to do that. And thank God for his salvation. He saved Israel that day. And we'll probably do some more in this next week. But he saved Israel that day. They saw the destruction on Egypt. Those Egyptians that had been hard taskmasters are now dead. Those that were suppressing them, those that were beating them, those that were requiring them to do things they could not do. Now they're gone. And so God had saved his people, and Pharaoh would never threaten them again. And it's out of his mercy, out of his love. Israel was stubborn, and they were slow to believe God, even in Egypt. And after they got into the wilderness a little while, they said, "Would to God we're back in Egypt." I don't understand. One moment they're singing praises to God, the next moment they're complaining to Moses because they didn't have everything they wanted. We'd rather have the cucumbers. We'd rather have the good things of Egypt. Well, when they was under the strong taskmaster, they didn't think of any good things. They were saying, "God, deliver us." And so God delivered them. God showed them salvation. And they saw that at the Red Sea as it was parted. And you know what? God still delivers. God still saves. All in according to his handiwork, his workmanship. Where's America going? Well, for the most part, America's going to hell. That's not a very easy thing to say or something we don't rejoice in, but if America doesn't change her ways, and it's only going to change if God changes, man's not going to make it any better. I guarantee you tomorrow's news is going to be worse than today's news. Day after tomorrow is going to be worse than tomorrow. And it's worse than it because it all builds upon. But our Lord, thank God, he can save us. And one day he will save us out of this world. One day he'll save us out of this mess that Barbara said a while ago, the mess that's in D.C. One day we're leaving here, praise God. And so we have his strength. We have his salvation. And therefore we ought to be able to sing joyously to the Lord. And we may not sing like Moses, we may not sing the same words, but out of a thankful heart I can make melody unto the Lord. When the Lord answers prayer, it's a joyous thing. When God does something special for us, then we know he's on the throne. We know he can help us. And so thank the Lord tonight, these three or four things about Moses and his song. And I've just barely touched the hem of it. We'll continue next Wednesday probably on this song of Moses. I just read it and read the rest. We didn't read all of it. But they were singing. He was singing. He was rejoicing because God did a marvelous work. God performed a miracle. God ever done a miracle for you? If you're saved, he has. If you're a born-again child of God, you are his miracle because he's the only one that could do for us what needed had to be done. In the world of Egypt, Egypt in the Old Testament is always a reference to the wicked world. And we are saved out of that wicked world. And one of these days, we'll see the bodies floating on the seashore. We'll see God's total victory over this world. He'll establish his kingdom and we'll be forevermore. Praise be unto the Lord. Let's stand together.